Yeah, look, that news has taken us by surprise as well. Yeah. So, you know, we were not privy to that. We didn't even know he was busy planning it. But nevertheless, you know, we always welcome and embrace the attention we get from the lawmakers, you know, because yes. they are the ones sitting at the top of the food chain. And when you look at what is it really going to take to change the crime picture here? And the thing is that we need to change the laws because... You know, what the SAPS does on the ground is then impacted by what the courts do in the court. And what the courts do is guided by what the lawmakers give them to work with, right? Parliament and the like. So when you look at what happened with the spaza shops now recently, why was it that the whole country was able to grind to a complete halt to address the spaza shop issue? Because somebody in government decided enough is enough, let us address the problem. And they stopped everything in its tracks and they removed all the stops. Why? Because their own people and our people, we were all affected by it. It's a matter of life and death. In COVID, the government did everything they could to stem the pandemic. And then the courts and the police and everybody were lined up, just like the spazas, right?
Yes.
Just like the zamas. Now, why can't they do the same thing with regard to crime? We all say it takes political will to really fix the problem. You know, Sanjom Junior wants to have the national summit, but he's sitting right at the very pinnacle of lawmaking and decision-making that can then give the courts the tools that they need to increase or to help with the convictions, to build more prisons. Because every time you arrest people, you send them to jail, and then the courts have to then equalize the number of prisoners sitting in the prisons. They're already overpopulated. So they release some of them. They release batches of them. The recidivism rate is pretty high amongst some of those individuals coming back out into the public. So the National Summit is welcome. We will participate, hopefully, if we are invited. And, you know, the major shifts in addressing proactive and reactive crime have happened in our country, but not in the way that people were expecting. You know, if I use an earthquake analogy, an earthquake happens, it's big on the scale, 8.4, and then a series of aftershocks ripples out. But the way crime has been addressed in South Africa is more like a series of ripples of smaller little tremors that have actually resulted in the gigantic earthquake. But we haven't really seen it and felt it as an earthquake. But there have been significant improvements and positive strides in addressing crime. But they've been a series of small ripples. And if you add them together, the collective is pretty substantial, right? Yes. But proactive versus reactive, that is the holy grail for law enforcement.
Because I normally ask the question, so what is drawing them back, right? What is the challenges that they might be facing? And most of the times I see they always mention, you know, budget constraints. That's one of the big ones, Mr. Rafik, is that they come back to budget constraints. You know, we're unable to do this due to the budget and so forth. They're working around a budget, Mr. Rafik. So I just want to know, is that perhaps like a type of scapegoat, you know, in order to avoid accountability and so forth? Or is that the genuine concern and the genuine criteria, the budget constraint?
Look, I'll tell you, it's hit and miss. I think in some cases, budget constraints are real, are genuine, right? They are true. But in other cases, it's a question of effective management of the existing resources. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the ability to actually manage and run projects effectively. And then the third one is, you know, bloated expenditure. The thing is that if you're going to procure computers or laptops or whatever for a function, you know, when we look at some of the expenditures, not just in SAPS, I'm talking about government in general, we identify devices at X cost, say 3,000 or 4,000, 5,000 rand a unit, which is good enough to get the work done. But the quotes come in at 15 and 20 and 30,000 for the same units. And some of us are scratching our heads wondering, how do people pass expenditures with such bloated costs for simple things that we use? And I mean, this is across government. This isn't just within SAPS. So yes, budget is a problem, but I think it's a function of managing what's there now with a different set of eyes, perhaps. But certainly, if he is talking about having a summit without any budgetary constraints, it means that he's probably trying to develop a strategy around what needs to be done. He's probably doing a whiteboard exercise. Okay. But when you come down to operationalizing the plans, it cannot be operationalized without funding. You've got to bring people in. You've got to train police officers. You've got to buy vehicles. You've got to get, you know, firearms and radios and all kinds of stuff. But the good news is that there are lots of proactive things happening, despite, you know, the summit. If you noticed yesterday and in the day before, we had quite a few, you know, resources, SAPs and, you know, traffic, metro, law enforcement out and about doing proactive work. We even had eyes in the sky, if nobody's noticed it. And those are all proactive attempts at trying to keep crime down. So if people haven't noticed, those proactive attempts are paying dividend. It's out there. You don't see it, which is good. If you did notice it all the time, it would defeat the purpose. Yeah. But it's not something that they write home about all the time. Mm. So the police generally do a bad job of marketing their successes. On the other hand, not marketing it means the criminals don't really know what the strategies are.
Yes, I think it's a simple analogy of, you know, you can drive perfect for 100 kilometers, right? But for 100 kilometer distance, for 99 kilometers, you can drive perfect. But as soon as that 1 kilometer, that last one, you drive a little bit, you know, off path, and that defines the whole journey, Mr. Rafi.
That does.
And that is
kind of what
people look at, you know. They don't see the positives, the work that has been done. They focus primarily on the negative. Like, this defines the, you know, the police department. This is what they're about and so forth. But we don't see the benefit that has come about through the initiatives that they have embarked upon. And it is unfortunate. It is unfortunate. And, you know, I just want to ask, you know, with regards to the policing, police department and so forth, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of a bad taste in the community's tongue and so forth. Mm. Communities, some of them have lost faith in police. So I just want to ask, how do you think this can be restored based upon the summit and so forth?
Yeah, look, there's an ongoing effort, not just the summit. The summit, you know, is only happening now in March. But for the last several years, there's been a very strong effort to bridge the gap and to improve the trust between the community and the police. And through the community police forums and the safety structures around them, but mainly the CPFs, that's their mandate. It's constant, it's legislated, that is their role to play. They've now updated their constitution. They're busy developing an operational guide, which is a first that's never been done. The constitution has been in place for, oh gosh, almost 20 years, but the ops guide is now on its way. And these are the tools that are useful in terms of helping the community to see that the SAPs are making progress. They're supposed to bring trust, communication, and you know, help rebuild that trust element. And when you don't know who to speak to, your CPF members can guide you, you know, in that regard. Mm. So happening in 2025, the elections for the CPFs are done across the province, save for a handful of stations. There's probably close to 80 to 90%, 85% completion on the entire province, so 151 stations. Most of them are done with their CPF elections. The new CPFs will be trained come January, February, and the rest of the structures will then unfold. And then the accountability meetings can then happen again. Those accountability meetings have been absent for the last 2 years or so or more. And so now the CPFs can report up via their sub-districts and their districts and up to the province, and they can actually have the accountability meetings that has been absent for the last couple of years.
Wow, yes, and I think that is what a lot of people are looking at, you know, the accountability aspect, the meetings.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they want transparency. I think people really want transparency. You know, it's good that that's going to be coming to the fourth. It's going to be proposed and so forth. And yes, and are there any other initiatives or plans CPFs have in the new year when it comes to combating crime? Anything else?
No, there's a very strong focus on the code of conduct. So, you know, we're not saying we're professionalizing it to the point of, you know, there's no educational requirement per se, but there is a code that must be complied with in terms of treating how you treat the community, how you work with the police, how you position yourself with respect to conflict. You know, that code of conduct has been significantly strengthened, and there are many people who use the CPF, who try to use the CPF as a vehicle to promote their own politics. They have done untold amounts of damage to the partnership because, you know, wannabe politicians are very destructive.
Yes.
And so we actually have additional code of conduct and legislative guidance there to deal with wannabe politicians so that we can actually address them and maybe sort them out, you know, via a disciplinary process if they step out of line or if they abuse the platform, you know, for their own personal gain. And so we're excited because we've got, like I say, new tools, new legislative tools that have been approved. And so, we got to give that a test drive in 2025.